The first thing I want to do is congratulate our new brothers and sisters. Yuri Tejeda was baptized November 6th. Laura Winter Milena was baptized on the 21st. And Mario and Gabriela, husband and wife, they were baptized last week, Friday, on the 22nd. And so let's put our hands together and welcome our brothers and sisters into the kingdom of God. We love you. We're looking forward to meeting you in person. We're looking forward to getting to know you better. Let's continue to pray for each other. Again, happy Thanksgiving. And I want to say also a big thank you to Mike for sending out the 30 days of gratitude that we started December 1st. I want to encourage us all to participate. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and indeed we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I'm very thankful. My wife and I are very thankful to be in Brooklyn, to get to be with you guys and us as a church. I also want to use this opportunity to thank all those that, you know, help with our kids, you know, the videos on Sunday and all the different families, you know, all our Bible Talk leaders, our deacons, you know, all those that are serving in the singles ministry. You guys are awesome. You're wonderful. And Sarah and I are just very thankful that you are here and that everything you're doing in God's church, we're so grateful for everything that you're doing. I know a lot of us serve in the background in so many ways. You know, God notices what you're doing. And my wife and I are looking forward to this pandemic being over and the vaccine getting out so that we can all get it and get immunized and so that we can get back to quote unquote our new normal. But you guys are awesome, and we're very, very thankful for every single one of you. As promised tonight, tonight is going to be part two of the series I started last week for midweek as Iron Sharpens Iron. In Proverbs 27 in verse 17, it simply says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. By implication, brothers and sisters, I cannot sharpen myself. You cannot sharpen yourself. We must always allow another object or another person to sharpen us. And the truth is, a lot of times, Satan wants us to believe that, you know, we can do this alone, that we can live the Christian life alone. That's a big lie. It's a huge lie. It's a lie of the devil. If anything, the Bible tells us the opposite. So tonight, I want to continue along those lines. In John chapter 13, in verse 34, this is Jesus speaking. The Bible says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Excuse me, I see the typo there. If you love one another. This is a command from Jesus, our Lord himself. It is not a suggestion. It is not some good idea. He tells us to love one another. And the Greek word here that he uses is agape love. That is the love that God has for you and me, where we lay down our lives for each other, because he did that for us first. You see, we can't say we won't obey this because we experienced something back several years ago. You and I cannot choose to disobey this command because, you know, my wife said something to me, or my husband said something to me, or this other Christian didn't do something to me, or, you know, somebody I work with, you know, said something to me. We can't do any of that. He says, Jesus is calling us to practice agape love. He says, this is how the world will know that we're truly disciples of Jesus Christ. Notice, it doesn't say the world will know us by our doctrine. And not to say doctrine is not important. Doctrine is very important. It also doesn't say that we will be known by the size of our church. Again, I believe that's important. But it is by our love one for another, that is how the world will know that you and I are truly disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 29, again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fails for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Brothers and sisters, the relationships we have in the church is part of the blessings of being in God's kingdom. Again, we're still celebrating Thanksgiving, and I've been thanking God for my relationships. Obviously, thank God for my wife. I've been thanking God for my daughters. They just left a couple of days ago. They were here for 2 weeks, helping us unpack and setting up house. And we're very, very thankful. I'm also very thankful for the hundreds of relationships that I have in God's church all over the world. And now here in Brooklyn. And I believe God has put us in his church for a reason. Like I began to say a few weeks ago, this life for every single one of us is like we're on a journey. And every single chapter brings about new relationships. It brings about new dreams, new challenges. And God has placed us in each other's lives right now so that we can help each other as we make our way towards heaven. And I am thankful to be in the household of God. I am thankful to be in the church. I believe it was last week and the week before, praying set up some time so I could get to know some of the single brothers. And, you know, several single brothers, you know, tuned into Zoom. And it was a great, great time just getting to know each other. They were asking me questions. I was asking them questions. And there's a brother, as he was sharing, I think I asked the question, you know, what city would you love to go visit? And G shared that, you know, he would love to visit London. And I said, you know what? Let me know when that happens, because I know a lot of people in London, and because I'm going to hook him up. But again, it's because we're in the kingdom of God together. You know, when he visits, you know, he's saving up his money so he can go. When he visits, he's not going to have to pay for a hotel. You know, disciples will take him in and take care of him. And I'm sure he's not going to have to be paying for the food he's going to eat in the homes of the disciples. But I share all that to say, you know, that's one of the blessings we have being in each other's lives. That you can make a phone call, somebody can make a phone call on your behalf to somebody else across the world, and they will take you in and treat you as if they've known you all their lives. It's only in the kingdom of God. And we got to make sure that we're taking advantage of it. And so I'm very thankful that God has placed us in his church, because yes, quote unquote, you know, I came from one family, but my family is a lot bigger now as a result of being in God's church. Your family is a lot bigger now as a result of you being in God's church. You have a lot more brothers and sisters. You know, you have a lot more mothers. You have a lot more children as a result of being in God's church. And we got to be very, very thankful for that every single day. You know, I kept this. I've had it for a while. You know, it says author unknown. It says a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. Our lives, your life, mine, is always about making adjustments. It's like we're on a journey. We're on our journey towards back to heaven. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. Make no mistake about that. But you see, as we go along this life, there's going to be twists and turns along this journey. But the cool thing is, I don't have to go through this all by myself. There are brothers and sisters around that I can lean on, that I can depend on, to help me navigate through this life. Again, you know, each phase of life requires a certain level of skill that calls us to adapt. Life, believe it or not, is all about making constant adjustments. It's all about making the usual and the necessary adaptation when the time calls for it. But you see, it's amazing to me, and I'm very thankful that we get to do this together. That's why we need one another. I'm not going to be able to get to heaven on my own strength. I need you guys. You guys need me. There's a lot of relationships I've had over the years, and they're still in my life even right now. And they're still in your life even right now. And so let's not get sidetracked by the devil, thinking that we can do this on our own. We're going to need each other to navigate through all the turns that life is going to throw at us. And so what I want to talk to us about tonight is adding to our toolbox. Okay? Fact, we're not all the same. Okay? We all come from different cultures. We have different backgrounds. And believe it or not, our upbringing, our backgrounds, has influenced the way we see the world, has influenced us even as adults. And we're all different people. I'm thankful that we're all different, because if we're all the same, I think the church will be very boring. You know, some people are out of themselves and some people are introverts. Whether you believe it or not, I'm actually an introvert. I'm actually a very shy person. A lot of people don't believe that, but I'm a very, very shy person. But I also understand that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, that when I'm about to walk into a room, or people are about to walk into a room where I'm at, I got to switch. I got to become outward to now give to others, you know? But that has taken years to become that. And so I say that to say, you know what? We're all different. And, you know, people react to you, or may not react to you, based on their personalities, you know? But that's okay. We're all here to help one another. We're all here to learn how to help each other as we make our way towards heaven. So it's very, very important that we add to our toolbox tonight. You know, Susan Powter once said, the habits that took years to build do not take a day to change. I've been a Christian now 34 years. And, you know, some of us just got baptized last week and some of us are older Christians. And that's fantastic. But you see, before you and I became disciples, you know, we had different things, different characters, flaws in our lives. And for some of us, you know, I know for me, for instance, yes, I've been a Christian 34 years, you know, I'm still getting help with my anger. And so it's taken a long time, but I'm getting better at it, where in my anger, I don't sin. Where, okay, before I react, you know, I keep quiet, I keep my mouth shut, and I ponder it over. Before I click send on that email, you know, I think it through. You know, somebody told me a while back, you know what, just sleep on it. And if the next day, if you're still feeling the same way, then you can send it. It has saved me a lot of times. And so I share that to say, you know what? Don't get down on yourself that, you know what? I've been around a long time and this hasn't changed. You and I are on a journey. As long as we're getting more Christ-like, then we're going in the same direction. We're going in the right direction. But we need to continue to help one another and continue to be patient with one another, because it's not going to be easy. It hasn't been easy. But as long as we continue to make that progress, as we make our way towards heaven, God will continue to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. You know, even the people who betray you are part of the plan. Jesus couldn't get to the cross without Judas. That's a very true statement. You know, sometimes some of us, I know, you know, you may have been hurt in past relationships. I've also been hurt in past relationships. Okay? But you see, one of the things I've come to understand is even all the hurts that I've been through is part of the plan of God helping me and transforming me into the image of his son, Jesus. And there may be need for you or somebody else to go, you know, call somebody up and say, you know what, can we talk? We used to be in a disciple relationship together. And this happened, or this didn't happen, or I felt, you know, you said this and I felt hurt. There's nothing wrong with that. If anything, you need to do it. And I'm going to talk about that someone next week. Where we listen, where we acknowledge what the other person is trying to tell us, and where we ask for forgiveness. And you mend that relationship so that you don't give the devil a foothold. You know, my Bible tells me that love does not keep a record of wrongs. The truth of the matter is, relationships and marriages that thrive are the ones that don't hold grudges, and that are the ones that don't keep a record of wrongs. And if you think about it, there is no way to really practice forgiveness without being hurt in your relationships. You know, if you ask my wife, Sarah, she will tell you that in our 28 years of being married, there have been times that I've hurt her. And sometimes I don't even realize it. I don't even know what I've done. And she'll just say, you know what, can we talk? Okay. And she'll tell me, okay, you said this or you didn't do this, or when you did this, how I felt. And I need to apologize. That's not the time to defend myself. She's hurt and I've hurt her. That was not my intention, but I need to apologize. And I ask for her forgiveness and she always gives it to me. And we mend and we move on. Now, when the next thing happens, the thing we cannot do is now bring up the past, because that doesn't help any. It just doesn't. I mean, think about this. If every time you and I hurt God and we ask for forgiveness and he forgives us, and then we hurt him again and then God brings up something you did 5 months ago, how would you feel? You see, God has offered us grace every single day so that we can offer the same grace to other people. That's what grace is. And so, even as we're talking about re-engaging again into disciple relationships, you know, some of us may need to go back and mend some relationships. And that's okay. And I want to encourage you to do it. Even if the person has moved to another ministry, even if the person is somewhere else, go ahead, make that call. Send that text message. Say, let's talk, brother. Let's talk, sister. So that we don't give the devil a foothold. I like this one. It says, don't judge someone just because they sin differently from you. Don't worry. I'm about to get into a bunch of scriptures here. Okay? It says, don't judge someone just because they sin differently than you. We're all different. We all bring different things to the table. You know, God knows we're going to sin against him. That's why he came into this world to die for us. Nobody's perfect. There was only one perfect disciple, so to speak. Okay? His name is Jesus. And he's gone back to heaven, sit at the right hand of God. And so all we have is each other, and we're all sinners. And so we're gonna sin against each other from time to time. The important thing is that we offer each other forgiveness, we offer each other grace, and we keep going on. The Bible talks a lot about helping each other, a lot, okay? Check out these verses. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, love one another. This command actually occurs at least 16 times in the New Testament. Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Also, the second part of that verse, Romans 12:10, it says, honor one another above yourselves. These are all commands, brothers and sisters. These are not just suggestions. These are all commands from the Almighty. Romans 14:19, it says that you and I should build up one another. And that's what it also means to encourage one another, where you put courage into other people. In other words, you give it some thought. Say, how can I encourage this person? How can I build up this person? Ephesians 4:2 and Colossians 3:13. Again, I'll talk about this more next week. It says we need to forgive one another. Again, it's not a suggestion. Because when you don't forgive, you allow the devil to get in there. But he commands us to forgive. Ephesians 4:32. It calls us to be kind and compassionate to one another. Just this afternoon, I was talking to a brother, and he was mentioning to me that he just had, he called it ceramic coating done on his car. He says, I'll call you back. And so I'm like, what is that? And so I Googled ceramic coating. And I was like, oh, that's something you can put on your car, whatever. It's actually better than wax. And so I Googled and I called up a guy here in Brooklyn. I said, by the way, how much is it to do this ceramic coating? And he couldn't meet some number. It was a huge number. I was like, whoa, okay. Thank you. I'll call you back. But anyway, so I'm talking to this brother later and he goes, yeah, ceramic coating is this and this. I said, as my father, I looked it up. He goes, yeah, I'll do it for you. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I'll do it for you. Why don't you bring your car over next week? And I'll give you my car. And it's going to take like several days. And I was blown away. And he's not going to charge me a penny. Only in the kingdom of God. He's being kind. He's being compassionate. And so I jumped at it. And so I'm looking forward to taking my car over next week. And he's going to put this coat, a ceramic coating on it. I'm thankful. Ephesians 5:21 says you and I need to submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus. Colossians 3:16, it says we need to teach one another. Right now, I'm teaching you this, the scriptures via Zoom, but we need to be teaching each other the scriptures. And that's one thing we get to do in disciple relationships. And James 5:16 is also in the Bible for a reason. It says that we need to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. It says the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Now, for some reason, this thing, okay. All right. It says if you have to sneak to do it, lie to cover it up, or delete it to avoid it being seen, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. You know, part of being a Christian, the Bible says, is confessing our sins to each other. And so, let me ask you, how often do you call up another brother or another sister and say, you know what, can I talk to you? I just need to get something off my chest. Very, very important. That's a command in the Bible. That's a command in the Bible. The Bible also talks about how not to treat one another. In Colossians 3:9, it says, don't lie to each other. All these verses were written to Christians. Romans 14:13, it calls us to stop passing judgment on each other. Galatians 5:26, it says, don't provoke and envy each other. And James 5:9, it says, don't grumble against each other. These scriptures are in the Bible. For us not to pass judgment on each other, for us not to provoke and envy each other, and for us not to grumble against each other. Now let's talk about seeking advice. The aim of seeking advice is trying to do what is best. And the aim is not looking for someone to tell us what we want to hear. Okay? Now, seeking advice doesn't mean that you don't do your own thinking. All right? Again, seeking advice is not seeking permission to do something. You're just trying to do what is best. And the goal, the reason for that is you're trying to avoid mistakes that other people have made in similar situations. Okay? Let me give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you have a child that's 10 years old, your first son or first daughter. And here you are, you're trying to raise up a 10-year-old. But you see, you've never been in this position, spiritually speaking, ever before in your life. There's nothing wrong, in my view, if you're a very smart person, you would talk to other couples that have raised a 10-year-old. In other words, hey, when they turn 10, or, you know, when they got to middle school, you know, what were the different challenges that you faced? Because here's what I'm going through. And you'll be amazed that a lot of people have gone through what you're trying to go through. And they'll be there to help you out. I remember one time a few months ago, a brother came up to me and he was seeking advice about wanting to buy a house. And I listened and I asked him, I said, so how's the job situation? He says, well, and I have this new job and this and this and this. I'm like, bro, if I were in your position, I wouldn't do it. And this is why. And I explained everything to him. And he looked at me, he goes, you're right. He goes, as a matter of fact, I spoke to so-and-so, and I also spoke to so-and-so, and they told me the same thing. And I looked at him, I said, brother, by the time two or three people are telling you the same thing, I think God is trying to tell you something. I said, you didn't have to come to me for me to tell you what you wanted to hear. Because I said, financially, I don't believe you're in a great position right now to go ahead and buy a house. Because your job situation is not very stable. And he listened. And so, you know, he went and rented a house. And I'm thankful that he listened. But that's what seeking advice is. In other words, you're trying to do what is best. I remember when my wife and I when we were pregnant with our first daughter, Gina. This is many, many years ago. But I've never forgotten it. We're seeking advice from the couple that was discipling us in terms of, you know, what is, you know, those that 9 months, what is it like and all these different things. And they advised us to get a book titled What to Expect When You're Expecting. And I went out and I bought that book and I read it in about 3 days. And the thing I love about the book, and I remember very vividly, was it would break down every single month until the 9th month. Such that there was one day, you know, I walked into the room and Sarah was like, "Hey, Rich, I'm bleeding from my nose." And I said, "It's okay." And she goes, "What do you mean it's okay?" I said, I read in the book. It's in the book. And, you know, the book told us what to do. But I didn't panic. Would you believe that as a result of reading that book, every single, you know, a lot of couples, when they were having their first child, we gave them that book as a gift. What to Expect When You Expect It. I'm sure some of you read that book. I'm sure some of you even still have it. But it's very important that you're seeking advice, especially when you've not, you know, gone down a path in your Christian life that you've never experienced before. Again, I also remember advising some of our singles to go back to school and to invest in themselves, to invest in their education. And a lot of our single brothers have gone back to school. I've gotten a master's degree and I've gotten even a doctorate. But you see, it's all about seeking input. Now, there are times when somebody will give you advice and the advice doesn't really work out, okay? I remember very vividly when I was asked to go on the mission team to Nairobi, Kenya, with Nietzsche and Daisy and others. And I moved to New York for a month before joining the mission team, and we all left together. And I just bought a car. The car was 6 months old when I moved here. And as a matter of fact, the next day I got here, somebody broke into it. The Boston church had given me a very nice Bible with my name on it, and it was sitting on the back seat. Then by the next morning, somebody had broken the side window and stole my Bible. I hope that person became a Christian. Well, who knows? But anyway, I left the car behind with a brother and, you know, went over to Africa. And so I remember I got a phone call from a sister in the New York City church who wanted to buy my car and said she didn't have the money to just give me all of it. And so I said, fine. I said, so I sought advice, you know, and the brother said, you know, let her have it. Let her pay every month a certain amount. And that was what she was doing. And lo and behold, you know, she was paying, I don't know, for about maybe 7-8 months. And then she left the church. And as God is my witness, I don't even remember her name as I'm talking to you. But, you know, she took off with my car and my money. But somebody gave me that advice and I listened. Now, I didn't go back and tell the brother, hey, this was, look at the advice you gave me. Now, this person has now left. I didn't do that because I owned it. I owned the advice. They didn't force me to sell my car to that person. I owned it and I acted on it. And, you know, she did what she did. And I left that to God. So much so, many years later, I don't even know what prompted the conversation. And I mentioned to the brother, oh yeah, that sister took off with my car and she never paid me the whole thing. And the brother looked at me and said, man, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, it's all right. No big deal. For me, it's all for the kingdom of God. I don't lose sleep over stuff like that. And so I bring that up to say, sometimes you will get advice that does not work out, but you've got to own it. You can't point fingers and say, well, so-and-so gave me that advice, and so I'm upset. You can't do that. You got to own the advice. I got to wrap this up. I put on the screen a lot of verses from Proverbs that talk about seeking advice. Proverbs 1:5, Proverbs 9:7-9. You can take a picture of this very quickly. But there's a lot in Proverbs that talk about seeking counsel, seeking guidance, okay? And I'm telling you right now, I mean, I have sought a lot of input. Even, you know, when we're hired to in New York a couple of months ago, I mean, we talked about the idea of buying a house. You know, we've always owned a house the last 16 years. I said, you know what? Instead of paying all this rent, let's just buy a house. And so we sought advice from Sam Powell. I said, you know, bro, here's what I'm thinking. You know, what do you think? And he listened. He said, you know, bro, why don't you move here first and get to know Brooklyn, get to know the lay of the land. And then after about a year, you know, after you've known, you know, so, you know, that makes a lot of sense. He says, what you don't want to do is go buy a house and just move in. And then, you know, 6 months from now, you're going, oh, man, I want to live in that area. Or I want to stay over here. And I listened. And that's why we're renting. And that's fine with me. But it's very, very important that we seek input, especially if you've never done something before. We've never lived in New York City before. It's our first time. And so you better believe we saw a lot of input. We used to have 2 cars in Texas. And so, again, I'm seeking advice. I asked a brother, I said, so what do you think? Are we going to need 1 or 2 cars? He says, bro, all you're going to need is 1 car. As a matter of fact, you don't even need a car. He goes, insurance is very expensive over here. And also, parking is very difficult to find. He says, you know what? Just bring 1 car. That's what we did. You know, Sarah and I are joking around. You know, it takes me an hour to find parking. And so what we now do is we time our errands and our grocery shopping to when we have to move the car, when they're street sweeping. But it's been fine. It's wonderful. And so I've been walking everywhere. It's been fantastic. I've lost some pounds since I've been here, which is fantastic. But it's very important that you seek advice. It's very important that I'm seeking advice. You know, I've sought advice from some of you guys that are listening tonight. And I will continue to seek that advice because I've never done this before in New York City. So it's very, very important that even as we continue to help each other, as we make our way towards heaven, that we're bouncing off things off each other. We're seeking advice from each other about our marriages, about being single, about how to raise kids, about whatever it is, that we're seeking input from each other. Very, very important. You see, relationships are worth fighting for. But you can't be the only one fighting. In other words, you can't be the only one always initiating. It shouldn't be just you always going after other people. We're all in this thing together. And brothers and sisters, what I'm saying to us as a church tonight is it is time to re-engage. We have our whole future ahead of us. God has put us in each other's lives for such a time as this. I want us to pray about this. If we're married, let's talk to our spouses. If we're single, let's talk to other singles. Because what I would love for us to do is pair up with one another. Couples with couples, singles with singles. Let's pair up with one another by Christmas. Okay? You say, how do we do this? You want to pair up with somebody else within your Bible talk? That's fine. You want to reach across Bible talks and pair up with somebody else in a different Bible talk? That's okay. We're all one family. We're all in the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay? But it's important that we pair up with one another so that we can help one another. You know, I had a brother text me, I think it was last week, sent me a very long text. And he says, you know, bro, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life, this. He said, would you disciple me? And I texted him back and said, absolutely, I will disciple you. He's the first one who asked. And so I'm going to be discipling him. I'm thankful. I'm looking forward to getting to know him. I'm looking forward to really helping him figure out what he wants to do with his life. So it's very, very important that we get back into this kind of relationships. Again, Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You and I are not going to make it to heaven without this. Okay? We need one another. And As we engage each other again, as we get back to each other's lives again and continue to help each other and continue to love each other like Jesus commands us to, it's going to be an incredible time when we cross over to the other side. And so, brothers and sisters, that's what I wanted to share with us tonight. Can I ask Carl to please close us out with a word of prayer? If you could unmute yourself. And Carl, could you close out with a word of prayer? And then we'll have a great time of fellowship. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless you all.
Okay. All right.